podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We are the only team in the world that could fuck this up, aren't we?
Yes, yes, we are.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to the final Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents of the season. And as is now religious, Ricky, we're finishing with Tottenham Hotspur, of course, because that's my choice. We've got with us today Mark Hammond, our Norwich City correspondent. How are you, Mark?
Hi, James. Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, mate. You?
Good, man. Yeah, I'm okay at the moment, mate. I can't wait to get Sunday over and done with. And Ricky Saunders, our Tottenham correspondent, is in. How are you, Ricky?
Yeah, nervous few days, but I'm feeling a lot better than I was doing this time last week. But yeah, all good.
We should clarify for the listeners and the viewers at the moment, we are pre-recording this on Tuesday, just in case there's any injury news between now and Thursday that we're unaware of. Mark, how are we feeling now? We last spoke to you just before you went to Brighton. You weren't confident about things. I think the agreed inevitable has obviously happened. How are you feeling about the club now?
Well, things have turned a little bit toxic, as toxic as it can get for Norwich City fans, really. Yeah, like the players have started to get sick once again. Dean Smith started to get a bit more criticism. Sporting director Stuart Webber's come under a lot of fire. He's fallen out with the local press. A lot of fans are falling out with each other. Yeah, there's a lot of arguments going on, particularly behind the scenes, as to who's to blame for all of this, really. A lot of fingers are pointed in different directions. So we don't really, you know, everyone's got sort of different opinions on where we failed this year. Is it the management? Well, you could turn around and say two managers have not been able to do much better than one another. The players, they've not obviously been anywhere near good enough. Is it the fact that they're not trying? Is it the desire? Or is it the fact that they're Championship League One players? Then, of course, it comes back down to the recruitment and is a self-funding club ever going to achieve success and staying up in the way that we did sort of a few years ago? Because this year feels like no different to 2 years ago. In actual fact, it feels a lot worse because obviously we spent 60-odd million pounds and we haven't got sort of some of the sellable assets maybe that we had before. And it feels a bit of a pickle this time as opposed to 2 years ago. Plus, we're obviously there now in the flesh, and it's not much fun, if I'm honest, watching us.
Do you feel anger?
Yeah. I'll actually pass a few weeks ago, I think I did. Yeah, certainly the Newcastle home game. We felt it at Brentford, and then I think it come back to the Newcastle game and the West Ham fan, the West Ham game. Fans are leaving early. When I say early, they're saying there's 27,000 in the crowd. There's nothing to be unhappy about. That's how Dean Smith sees it. A local press poll says 87% are unhappy. Dean Smith says, no, it's not apathy. It's not unhappiness, but we can assure him it is. And, you know, there's only reason they're giving out 27,000 in the crowd is because people have already bought their tickets in advance. Most people are even not bothering to go, leaving at half-time. Loads and loads of empty seats. And,
so you're saying there's a few season ticket holders not bothering, basically, and stuff
Like that. Totally. A lot of us have given up. Yeah, totally.
There's a difference though between anger and unhappiness, isn't there? Though.
Yeah, I think there is, and again, it comes back down to who is to blame ultimately. You know, where we're pointing the direction of blame. Is it something, you know, like we could have stayed up this year, like if we was a little bit more sort of focused on what the plan was and to get everything spot on, but we haven't got much margin for error, really, unfortunately, with the sort of the funds we're spending. And the thing is, obviously, we are in the same situation as we was last year, where we have to replace Emi Buendia and Ollie Skip, and we haven't done that, so we're pretty much back to where we were.
That what you say there, and the fact that you obviously, unlike 2 years ago, you did spend some money last summer, but Dean Smith has not obviously had anything in January, so it's not his team in any way. In essence, it feels difficult to blame him, but I know from what you're saying and what I've seen online as well, like he's not blameless either. It feels from the Norwich fans' perspective.
The thing is, as well, you could turn it on both directions, because you could turn around and say, well, he's had 75% of the season, and we've had little periods where we've sort of got a few points on the board, and then we've lost five or six on the spin again. He's played about with the different formations and the personnel, and I think a lot of the angle as well is him playing the loan signings. I think I know why he's doing it. It's because of the agreement with the clubs where we pay less, or in actual fact, in some cases, absolutely nothing if they reach X amount of games per season. In the case of Brandon Williams and Billy Gilmore, as far as I'm concerned, neither of them should be anywhere near the team. Not just because we've been relegated, but you know, I'm not massive fans of them in any case. But yeah, the thing is, you could turn around and say, look at Michael Jackson at Burnley, for example. You know, he's had an immediate impact when he's gone in there. Points have been picked up with same personnel. Where we haven't really seen it with Dean Smith. He's stumbled across different formations, and then we're back to square one, really. So, no, you can't blame him entirely. But there, as with every manager, there's a few decisions sometimes you scratch your head and you think, what are you doing?
Yeah, as I said to you when you last come on, I think you'd found the formula with Ida, and then he got injured. You'd beat Everton and stuff like that, and then he got injured. And I feel like that killed the momentum, because he got injured straight away after the window shut. And I think if it had happened a week earlier, maybe you'd got someone else in on loan. And
yeah,
you don't know, actually.
I think everything that has gone wrong, like could have gone wrong, has gone wrong. I think it feels like that.
Yeah.
You know, like look at the recruitment we sort of spent, as I say, £60 million. Zolis, Sargent, Rosica, three goals between them or whatever it is, it's pathetic, you know. Zolis can't even get anywhere near the team, and loan players are coming in ahead of him now, like John Rowe and Tony Springer. I've never even heard of these boys until this year, and they're now playing in front of our record signing. So it's an absolute disaster with the recruitment back to last summer. They might not even be good for the Championship. There's no way of telling. We haven't seen enough of some of these players, to be honest. So
yeah, we'll come back to that. Ricky, how do you view them?
View Norwich.
Yeah.
They're obviously a very well-run club, but obviously the board there don't have much ambition other than to get into the Premier League and then pocket some money. Well, pocket, I mean, like, you know, maybe put it back into the club. I don't know. Norwich have a very, very healthy bank balance, but there's just no ambition. Norwich are going to go back down to the Championship next season. They're going to take that by storm, definitely be promoted, and then come back up, and it's just rinse, cycle, repeat. And it's a shame, because it's a club with a lot of potential. Your catchment area is massive. Your fan base is really strong, but the board don't seem to want to match the ambition of the fans.
Is it straightforward? Do you come back though, Mark?
No, not necessarily. Not this time, I don't think.
Why is it different?
Well, I think we don't have an Emi Buendia this time. So I think that's his connection with Timu Pukki was something else. I'd be confident if we did keep Timu Pukki that obviously he's going to get 20 plus goals again. I don't think that's in any doubt, but I don't think it's as straightforward. I think it's a tricky league to get out of. Last time we achieved it, I don't think you can necessarily say each and every time that would be the case. We'll be in the mix,
Do you think Pukki will stay?
Well, the thing is, I mean, he's now got 11 goals, 3 assists. He's breaking records. For someone who, you know, was deemed potentially not good enough for the Premier League, he's more than good enough as far as I'm concerned. Hands down, he'll win our player of the season because, you know, there's nobody else. And if you look at it from an FPL point of view, he's like the third top goal scorer now as a striker, which is remarkable in a team that's shit, basically.
But the thing is with him as well, it's like he helped get you promoted. He went down with you, come back with you, relegated again. At some point, he's probably looking at, I'm guessing, going, do I want another season in the Championship? Particularly, like you say, without Buendia this time as well.
I think a team that gets promoted or a bottom half team could do worse than him. Like if we were to get an offer in the summer, that could be too good to turn down. I know exactly what will happen. You know, I'm not saying he's worth £20 million, but for example, if someone was to play about with, you know, X amount of money and be a little bit silly with the figures, then I think Norwich would find it tricky. But that's a scary thought, is if we did sell him, then obviously, you know, the amount of goals that he can get at Championship level, we would seriously miss. And I think he has finished the season so strongly that there might be a bit of interest where there wasn't before. All comes down to how settled he is in the area and whether he wants to play in the Championship again, really.
Yeah. Do you think does the club need to sell? I mean, because it's quite right what Ricky says in terms of being well run. It feels like you don't need to sell. Whereas other clubs that go down and always do.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't need the money, should we? If we can get some money for Todd Cantwell and Max Evans, then, you know, even if it's nowhere near as much as before, even if it was just 20-odd million pounds for the pair of them, and we got rid of a few of the misfits that we bought last summer, even, you know, got half back, should we say, for some of them, then things are looking a little bit more rosy. But, we obviously need to... I dread to think what would have happened if Pookie would have got injured this season, because there really has been no contribution from elsewhere.
Do you have a preference who goes down, Mark?
I think from a comedy value, I think I'd have liked Everton to go down at one point in time. It doesn't look like that's happening now. I just think it would be funny. I'm always sort of one that, you know, for the underdog, it's quite nice for maybe one of the smaller teams to stay up live.
You shouldn't have taken 4 points off Burnley then, should you?
No, I know. exactly. I don't know, but Leeds again, having said that, I mean, Leeds were taking the piss out of us when they beat us 2-1 with that last-minute goal in March, obviously, and the worms turned a little bit for them now, so that would be quite ironic, but I'm not overly bothered in all honesty.
No, and I wouldn't expect you to be. The reason I ask is, I think Leeds going down is possibly the worst one for you, because I look at those three teams, Leeds, Burnley and Everton, and I think... Burnley and Everton, from a financial perspective, is going to be really difficult for them if they go down. Whereas in Leeds' case, I think you would think they'll come back.
They'll get
the Rafinha money and they'll reinvest it.
Yeah, and a lot of their squad, I'm not saying all of them are Championship players, but they're a lot. They'll stick together, won't they? And they'll be strong, put it that way. Yeah, I agree.
And Watford are also probably going to be selling the likes of Dennis and stuff and going to have some money as well. They've already gone early and appointed, obviously, Rob Edwards from Forest Green. It looks like quite a shrewd appointment, potentially. A very un-Watford appointment. So you fancy them to do well as well. That's why I mention it. And the clubs in the three teams at the time of recording left in the playoffs, Huddersfield, Forest and Sheffield United, all look like they would challenge. Whichever two miss out look like they'd go and challenge again next year as well.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah, it's tricky league to get out of. Yeah, 97 points last time. I don't foresee us getting that much, as you know, but you can never say, but it could be tricky.
Ricky, just quickly, who do you think will take the final relegation spot?
I think it will be Leeds. They're looking a little bit doomed just now. Everton have got a bit of a head of steam. Well, they're not getting results, but they're playing a lot better. I think Leeds are done.
Is that because you fancy, obviously, Burnley are a point behind, have to get something? Is that because they gave you the fright of your life on Sunday and you think they're going to get something?
Well, yeah, I mean, I watched Burnley and what we've seen them, three times this season now. They're not a bad side. You know, they've got some good players. I mean, they're not elite players, but they're good players that know how to do their job. I looked at Leeds, obviously, in recent games. They're losing their heads all over the pitch. I mean, Rafinha should have been sent off probably about three games in a row. Everton are having players sent off all over the place. Burnley should be the only ones that are keeping their heads and staying focused.
Burnley red card incoming Thursday night. Yep.
Yep. I've got no Burnley, so it's fine.
You said that because you've got Treble Villa, haven't you?
Yeah, man.
Ricky, the last week, how's it been for you?
Nerve-wracking, to say the least. I mean, let's go all the way back to the North London Derby, which seems like an eternity ago now. Obviously, I mean, you know the feeling, James. I felt sick. I felt anxious. I felt worried. I felt scared. And that was all before I heard that Romero was out. And then I actually shit my pants, properly soiled myself. But needn't have worried.
I'll cut that.
Yeah, please though. I didn't really. But yeah, needn't have worried. Sanchez has come in and he's from cold. He's played an absolute blinder. What a difference a week makes as well in the life of Emerson Royal. Unbelievable. It's just like before him, and we've both done it. We've both lambasted our fullbacks at various points this season, and fair play to them. They've come back and have proved us completely wrong. So yeah, it's,
that's the manager, isn't it?
It is the manager, of course. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's not. They haven't suddenly looked in the mirror and seen something. The manager's stood him in front of the mirror and shaken it into them. But yes, yeah, so the Arsenal game got out of the way, fantastic. But we still knew we needed favours from elsewhere. And after a very nervy game against Burnley, we got one. So it's been a perfect week, in all honesty, absolutely perfect.
So we now go into this fixture on Sunday, a point away to what Mark is probably going to say is the worst team in the league. We are the only team in the world that could fuck this up, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, we are. We spoke very briefly off air, James, about a game, what must be, what, 5-6 years ago now?
The Newcastle
where,
game.
The Newcastle game, where to finish above Arsenal for the first time in 20 years and on the final day of the season, away to a relegated team that were down to 10 men, I think, as well. Didn't they go down
they
to 10 men?
They went down to 10 men at 2-0 or 2-1, I think. And then went on to win 5-1.
Yeah, we absolutely shit the bed, lost 5-1, and Arsenal finished above us. So, yeah, look, anything is possible with this club. I don't rule anything out at all. Anywhere between losing 3-0 and winning 7-0 is all on the table. And, yeah, Arsenal fans, don't be too downhearted because we've got to do our bit yet.
Did you think in a weird way that Newcastle game, which is obviously that Ricky's referring to, is from the year when Leicester won the league? And obviously there wasn't pressure on that game. It was obviously Tottenham fans were desperate to finish above Arsenal, but it was to finish second and third. It didn't act. We were both already in the Champions League. It didn't physically matter. This has got a prize on the end. So it's kind of bigger. But do you think in a weird way that the experience, and I was at Newcastle that day and it was horrendous. Do you think in a weird way, the experience that we had that day has kind of got us ready for this Sunday, actually, not to just take it as the job's done?
I think it has. We've been told for years, and we've seen it as well, we don't have a winning mentality. We're weak mentally. Fergie alluded to it 15, 20 years ago. We've always had that kind of weak mentality used against us. This team, and one of the good things about our transfer and activity is this is still a core of a team that's been there for a good few years and have grown together. They've seen successes in some degree, you know, being above where they need to be, getting to finals they probably shouldn't have got to. And they've also seen disappointment as well in losing the finals and runners up in the league. So this team has grown together, and I think they've grown mentally as well as physically, and they're stronger mentally. This team doesn't give up. You know, this team keeps on playing right to the very end, sensing there is a chance of victory. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. They're not the kind of mentally weak team that we had 5-6 years ago. Not even close.
I thought you were going to say 5-6 months ago, Ricky. Well, again, it's the manager, isn't it?
That has crept back into it. Under Poch, we started to believe and we started to win games late. That started to fall apart as the problems with Poch crept into the team. And then Mourinho, good start. And then obviously he wasn't liked by most of the fan base and some of the players. Nuno come in. He was never the right man at the right time. And the players didn't buy into him. And it took us a long time to kind of recover from that. And I think even when Conte first came in, I think I certainly thought we were very lucky to get hold of him. And I think the players, and he was making noises right from the very start about, you know, I could walk away from this. And I don't think they realised that he was going to be around for the long haul. So maybe they didn't buy into him straight away. But he clearly has got a lot of affection for the place. And I don't think I've never been surer now that he's not going anywhere. He will stay around.
You say that, Ricky. If we lose on Sunday, he might resign on the pitch at full time, won't he?
I don't think he will do, mate.
I dread to think if we lose on Sunday and don't do this, I dread to think what his post-match interview is going to be like. My God, mate.
It will be interesting to watch. But no, I think he sees how passionate that the fans are about this club and about him. And he will see it as unfinished business. And he won't leave after 8 months, I don't think.
There's been definitely a change in the last couple of weeks with his language.
Yeah.
He started using us and we and the little things that fans notice. You mean, hey, his language is changing a bit. And actually, he was quite emotional on the pitch on Sunday. You could see he was happy. He was enjoying it. There was a feeling like this wasn't a thank you. I'm pissing off next week.
No,
it didn't feel like that at all.
That was a man standing with his players in front of his fans watching, you know, some of the highlights of the season. I think he's now invested. And as long as Levy gives him something that he wants,
that's it, isn't it? We could finish fourth, and if he doesn't get the money in the summer, he might piss off in August, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's look, once again, it's Tottenham. Nothing's impossible.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what I hope is that Levy was at the ground for the North London Derby. He saw the way the crowd played a part, and he saw a way the team reacted, and he must know what he needs to do to keep that. He will lose that crowd and he'll lose that manager as quick as he got them if he doesn't put something back into this club.
Yeah, I think Daniel knows. Mark, give Arsenal fans some hope.
They might get a dodgy lasagna served the night before, by night. You never know. That's as good as they can hope for, I think. A bit of food poisoning, like when you played at West Ham last game a few years back. Good few years back now, actually.
Yeah, it's 2006, that was.
Yeah. So unless... Well, I don't think I can, in all honesty. Unless something like that happens and you have half the team wiped out, then I see no reason you won't find it very comfortable. Sorry, but Arsenal fans. But
you've just had a good result, though, Mark. And played all right, though. Yeah,
the thing is, as well, I mean, it was from what I can gather, it was a sort of a typical end of season game, really. Wolves are not playing particularly well. We put five at the back. One of them results, we sort of dug in and everything like that. We might play five at the back and keep it a little bit tighter. But from what I've seen in some of our home games, I think we will only keep it tight at the back for so long. If you think about the home games we've had where teams have smashed goals in against us, Brentford, Newcastle, Liverpool, 3 goals, West Ham, 4 goals, Chelsea got 3,
Man City got 5.
You're not just talking one or two teams who have come down here and give us a hide in. People generally don't find it too difficult to score against us.
No, I think of the current top half, I think 0-0s with Brighton and Wolves are your only points in home games, I think, against the current top half.
Yeah, it's one thing digging in against teams sort of towards the bottom with nothing to play for. Yeah, I really struggle to see how on earth I could say anything different, really.
Ricky, you look like you're pissing yourself laughing. Have I missed something, mate?
Well, no, it's just, as you will well know, if a player's looking for his first goal of the season, if a team's looking for their first points of the season...
Is it solace, Mark's not been playing? He'd get a winner, mate.
Yeah, Tottenham is always there, ready to oblige, mate. You know, it's written in the stars. So, yeah, when you say that, you know, 2 points against top half teams, you can probably make that 5 come Sunday.
Easy, Ricky. If they played the back five at Wolves, are you concerned...
Yes.
If they do that again.
Yeah. I am, because I can't explain why. You will probably be able to explain it better than I can, but we are really struggling to break down any team that plays a back five. That's any team. We really, really... When we struggled for a few years against teams that dig in, but a back five seems to be our Achilles heel at the moment. And if you know that, and I know that, I'm pretty sure Dean Smith knows that.
Agreed.
I think we will play the back five again. I think we've done it at Wolves in preparation for playing again. Yeah, I think it's something we haven't done for a fair while. Barker played about, I think when we was at Burnley and home to Brighton, we back in the autumn, we was tinkering with that back five. And he came out in a press conference after the game and he just said, we're bleeding too many goals. We have to do something. Can't continue to be as open as we were. It might not be what the fans want to watch, you know, playing that way at home. But if you're using your common sense, any fan who sort of understands a little bit about the sort of tactical side of the game thinks it probably is a sensible thing to do. We can't go all out attack against you. We'll get absolutely, blown apart, won't we?
But there's a clear difference with this game this weekend to the problems we've had with this rookie, isn't there? We don't have to win.
No, we don't. But I don't think that's... I don't think Antonio Conte knows how to play for a draw. So I don't think our mindset's going to change.
Did you not watch us at Liverpool?
I still think we're trying to win that game.
Well, yeah, no, so do I. But it was obviously a very sitting deep mentality, wasn't it?
Towards the end, we probably were playing more to protect what we had. But he's not going to set out to play for a draw. He's going to set out to win. Obviously, what will happen during the game may alter his tactics. But yeah, no, we don't need to win. But that's dangerous, because if it is 0-0, get into the final 5 minutes, I know where my money's going.
Does it lead you to think, though, that if we kind of bring the fantasy idea into this, that a lot of people think Tottenham are going to go off big on Sunday? Got to get the win, got to get the points to qualify for Europe. Norwich week, Tottenham will go there and get goals like others have this season. Does it still feel that way to you? Or do you look at it and think, they're changing system, that's potentially plans apart, count of what we're going to do, therefore this is going to be a lower scoring football match?
I think that Conte will set up to do what we do every single game. I think he'll go there looking for goals. I think all of our best players will play. I don't see him, he's not going to go there thinking it's just Norwich, I'll rest a few. He'll go there fully strengthed, looking to go and score goals. The back five may alter that, but I certainly wouldn't put anybody off going Tottenham attacking assets because of Norwich's back five.
It's worth saying, when the two clubs met in December, and I mean, I want to say it was Conte's maybe fourth game, you played a back three then as well, Mark, against us, and you had a hell of a lot of the ball. You had 59% of the ball in that game.
Yeah, and we looked okay for a little while, didn't we?
We started really well.
We can probably frustrate to a degree if the players are switched on and they're doing everything they need to. It might not be quite the hiding that people are expecting, but I don't know what people are expecting. I don't know if people are thinking it's going to get silly 5-6. I'd like to think it wouldn't. Especially, I mean, if we're playing a more sort of defensive system, then yeah, it would be a disaster if we were to concede that many. But I'd still expect a routine away win, if I'm honest.
Is there any desire to, this will sound like a silly question, I think, but is there any desire not to finish bottom for you?
Yeah, Dean Smith keeps spinning out this, we're not the worst team in the league thing. I don't know quite where he's thinking. If he's honestly thinking Watford are worse than us, I don't really see it. But
I also think, Mark, maybe you haven't watched Watford recently. They are dreadful at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot of similarities. I don't think probably you can turn around and say one is better than the other, really. They're both way off of it. And I said that last time I was on, didn't I? You sort of said, you know, are you that bad? And you can tell by the league table. It's the pair of us who are well adrift of the... You know, for us to be relegated with four games to go, you know, tells you all you need to know, really.
But to not finish bottom, you've got to win to have a chance of not doing that. So does it mean that we might get a motivated Norwich on Sunday? Because I'm thinking about it as well in terms of if the crowd can see that there is something potentially, and listen, this doesn't change the world, obviously, it's worth about 2.2 million to you, I think, if you finish 19th. But actually, to psychologically finish the season with beating Tottenham at home, you have a better summer, don't you? There can't be a doubt about that.
Yeah, of course. Like, the thing is, with us getting relegated when we did, the worst thing that could happen is it could have a knock-on effect to next year. And we said the same sort of thing 2 years ago. If we're getting spanked every game after relegation, then yeah, it's not good at all. So yeah, it'd be good to go into the sort of the summer with some confidence, and particularly if he's playing some of the sort of the lone players, and to get more of a positive response from them. Yeah, of course. But I think also you have to be realistic to a degree as well. From what we've seen so far in the last few weeks, albeit Wolves away,
If you think,
it's a poor way for the season to end, in all honesty.
If you got to the end of the game, there's 15 minutes to go, let's say it's 0-0 or 1-1, and you know Watford are getting well beat at Chelsea, do you think you go for the win, or would there be pride in still getting a draw?
No, I think we'd probably go for the win at that point. Yeah, I think he would have no hesitation to throw on some of the youngsters, who, let's be honest, we know not a lot about, really, but they play with sort of no fear.
Yeah.
And they probably look better in many ways than some of the players who have been through the wars all season, feeling a bit down in the dumps. Possibly so.
I said this on the pod a couple of weeks ago, and you mentioned it earlier about the lone players and stuff. If the fans can see the kids out there, they'll get behind the team more, won't they?
Yeah.
It's just natural correlation.
That West Ham game, Tony Springett, we'd never seen him before. He wasn't even in the sort of the older group of players who got loaned out this year. He's first through the under-23s. When he got the ball, he was running towards the Barclays second half, and it's the first time anyone had got out their seats for weeks, because we were all sitting there really disinterested, and all of a sudden he took on a couple of players, bit of pace, and
he had a go.
And do you know what? Like, you know, they take your hat off to him. That's all we want to see, is people trying a little bit of effort, really.
But then he started at Leicester, didn't start against Wolves.
That's correct, yeah.
Do you think that's possibly down to the change in shape, system as well?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, probably. I would possibly think that he'll get some game time in that last game. It's just whether he starts or not. It all depends on the formation.
Ricky, how big a miss would Bentancur be if he's not available? Because he was certainly walking around the ground at the end of full time with a massive ice pack on him and hobbling very heavily.
Bentancur, he's kind of come in and he's made a real difference, but quite quietly. I don't think, unless you watch him, you realise how good he is and the things that he does. And I think it would be a real big miss. Not so much if we had, say, Ollie Skip available, but I don't think that Winksy will come in and do anywhere near the job that Bentancur does. And he will be a miss. I mean, you'd like to think we wouldn't really miss him that much, no disrespect, against Norwich, but as we've just been saying, Norwich, they're going to want to go out with a bit of fight. They're not going to roll over for us, not at all.
Would you have any doubt about Kulusevski starting?
I know he was ill, but I don't know. I haven't heard what he was ill with or from. I think if he's fit. If he's able to play, he will play. It's been about like a week between the games, so whatever he was well enough to be on the bench and come on. So I can't see an issue with him starting.
Okay, fine. What Tottenham players you got, Ricky? FPL.
Currently, I have Son. I think it's just Sonny.
It's your team, mate. You tell me.
No, Sonny and Sessegnon. Sonny and Sessegnon.
Oh, you got Sess as well. How long
got
you had
Sess,
him for?
Yeah, I got him last. This week just gone.
Oh, for Burnley. So yeah. That kind of leads into a Sessegnon versus Emerson Royal. You've made your choice already then?
I have made my choice. No, I've signed him this week. I'm playing my free hit this week and I got Sessegnon early.
Okay.
So yeah, no, Sessegnon has, yeah, I've made my choice. It's Sess.
Kane coming as well?
Why not? Let's do it. let's just go.
Is that the free? Is that the best three?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I'd have Kulusevski and Emerson Royal if I could do as well. But with so much choice in midfield, we're gonna do sport for choice this week. A lot of players, and you've got to draw the line somewhere. So I mean, I might have to go down to Kulusevski if I can't fit Kane in, but that's my plan: Son, Kane, and Sess.
Okay, Mark, got any spares?
Yeah, so I own Son at the moment. I've played free hit this week, so I will be back in for Spurs players this week. I'd more than likely be buying two, Kane and one other, but I'm undecided at the moment as to which third one. So, based on what Ricky's just said, it's probably be Sessegnon, but
I feel like if I ask you who your captain in this week, Mark, I feel like I know what the answer is going to be.
I don't know, actually. No, it'll be Son or Kane. You can toss a coin, I guess, can't you?
Yeah, but you could have said Son or Kane or Salah or Trent or Cancelo or De Bruyne or just one of the Spurs boys, you're saying.
Yeah, to get to Kane, I'm going to have to sell to Salah. So it probably, if he is injured, it's probably doing me a favour a little bit in terms of just the structure of the rest of my team. It means I can probably hang on to Jesus and not have to, you know, play about with things too much. It's sort of fall into place quite nicely there, really.
Definitely keep the faith there, Mark.
It's just frustrating, though, really, because that's a part of playing this game and watching your team from the stands. Because do you remember, like, a couple of years ago when first game of the season, I'm standing there watching Salah tear us apart and he's my captain. And it's happened several times this season already. I know FPL is not the be all and end all. When you're at the game, you tend not to think about it. But yeah, I guess in the back of your mind, you don't really like to see your team blown apart by.
No, there are some, let's say, players capable of hauls who have had them already against you this year. You've mentioned, obviously, Salah. Sterling got a hat-trick against you, didn't he? Jared Bowen had the three assists.
A few players got hat-tricks against us, yeah.
I think Tony. Saka had a couple of attacking returns. Tony got a hat-trick. Kai Havertz got a couple against you. He certainly had a good return. Mason Mount got a couple. Shame Havertz didn't do anything the first time they played you, but that's a different podcast whinge, I think. Ricky, captain this week. Are you going with one of the Spurs boys? And if so, which one?
Yes, I probably will do. Although I might, if I'll get a Chelsea player in, I don't know which one yet, but I might go with them. But just for morale purposes, sign the season off well, Son or Kane as captain. In another league that I'm in that I can't mention, I signed Son last week because Son at home, knowing that I would sign Kane for 38 for Kane away. So I kind of had it in my head to captain Kane in that one. But with the way that Sonny's let it off, in the reverse fixture, Son got I think he got a goal and an assist in that game.
Yeah.
So he scored points against Norwich. So I'm gonna leave it till the end to decide, but I will probably go Son just for his recent form.
Does the ownership come into the thinking there as well?
No, not really.
He's probably going to be the most captain, isn't he? And almost if you have him, if you don't captain him, you probably want him to blank, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean,
Salah's not fit, I think we should add on at this point.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm playing for at the moment is overall rank. I've won my mini leagues. I've got like a 200 point lead in that, so that's fine.
Czech,
so
it's just correspondent league. No, you haven't.
Well, not that one. No, my other one. I gave up the look, mate. Bloody hell, with Pringle and whatever else there, I've got no chance of winning that one, so we'll just leave that one where it is.
I think I need a new Tottenham correspondent then.
I'm trying, mate. But yeah, no, my main leagues that I want to win, I've won. So it's overall rank I'm playing for now. So I probably should look at things like EO, but I haven't looked at that all season. I'm not going to start now.
No,
I
just fine.
I captain who I think is going to score the most points every week, and that's that.
And you think that's probably Sonny?
Yeah.
Is that partly in the thinking of the Golden Boot?
We all saw his face when he came off against Arsenal. He was gutted. He really wants that Golden Boot. With rumours about Liverpool players not playing and whatever else, it might just be a straight shootout between him and Salah for one game, and Son needs to make up a goal. So I think he's got to go all out, mate. His hunger to get goals is going to be immense.
Okay. The five players we've mentioned, is there one other that maybe could be considered?
A Norwich player, you mean?
I'm thinking of Davinson. If people are tired, he's 4.2, isn't he?
And he was the one that got the other goal against Norwich in the return.
That's correct.
So he has once again got a history of scoring against Norwich. He's guaranteed to play. I wouldn't say no. I've kind of nailed my colours to the mast with Sessegnon, but he's an aerial threat. Norwich don't pose the biggest goal scoring threat we're going to face all season. And he's going to play, yeah. Why not? 4.2, go for it.
You wouldn't pick him over Sessegnon, though, would you?
No, no.
You obviously haven't.
Yeah,
someone listening is going to be, I can't get there. I've only got 4.2 because they're trying to fit in premiums or whatever. He's probably the shot, isn't he?
Absolutely. Why not? I say he's cheap. He's guaranteed to start. And he's probably going to pick up a clean sheet at the very least.
Okay. Mike, there's one Norwich player. I'm on a free hit this week as well. There's one Norwich player I've really got me on. That's the goalkeeper, mate. 4.0. Not necessarily the star, but to come in with me. Do you think you'll play again?
Well, the only reason he might not is for sentimental reasons to Tim Krul, in that if he was to be off in the summer. So to retrace the steps, we signed Angus Gunn sort of as a long-term successor to Tim Krul last summer. He's obviously had to spend most of the season on the bench, probably knowing that was to be the case. He's come in the last couple of games because Krul's had a reasonable season, but obviously he had made a few mistakes in the last few games, so he deserved a chance. He's played well, and under normal circumstances, Gunn would keep the shirt, no doubt about that. He's been absolutely fine, pulled off some decent saves. But if it was, the only thing I'd say is if it was to be Tim Krul's last home game in front of the fans, and they knew something that we didn't, perhaps, then yeah, it could be that Krul plays.
Is he out of contract?
No, he's got one more year, but there's a bit of thinking, obviously, what with the World Cup coming up, as to not only be in the Championship next season, but to potentially be a number two, World Cup in November. Depends what he gets told, obviously, by the Netherlands. You know, if they turn around and say, you need to be playing, you need to be in Holland for next season or else, blah, 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 blah. That could have... There's probably stuff going on behind the scenes already we don't know about in regards to that. If Krul is around next year, it'd probably be his final year. It's just whether we give him the one more year. So that would be my only thought. It's not a guarantee, a lock that Gunn plays, but he probably will.
Seems to happen every year now, doesn't it? We get some goalkeeper. We've had it with recently with Kasper Schmeichel, the Palace goalkeepers, obviously with yourselves, where goalkeeper gets changed randomly towards the end of the season to give him a couple of games. It's happening more and more, isn't it? We had even Scott Carson for Man City last season as well. So you think...
John Ruddy, Wolves...
John Ruddy played against you last week as well. I know that definitely thrilled Bradley Parker, mate. I'm sure he's probably still blaming him for the goal. So you think there's a little bit of danger in going with Gunn? Obviously, I'm looking at him as cheapest available playing backup goalkeeper. You think there's a bit of danger in it?
Slight danger.
Because let's be honest, if you do get the result, he's going to fucking haul, isn't he?
Probably, yeah. That's the
cheers,
thing.
Mike.
Yeah, we have plenty of save points, wouldn't he? You probably should go elsewhere in all honesty, but depends how much money you've got left. If you really have only got 4 million, then yeah, go for it.
Some people will have Pookie, and you've already mentioned it's perfectly reasonable. Keep.
You just got a difficult decision then, whether to play him or not. Probably first half in most cases, I would guess. But then there is obviously the chance, as we've spoken about previously, he's a 1-in-4 striker in this league. You know, he'll have dry patches, but then he'll come and nick a consolation every so often. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was to get a consolation, or if he was to score one goal, you pretty much know who it's likely to be. He'll have some sort of involvement in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definite talisman. Guys, thank you so much. Let's finish on predictions. Mark, you are the home team. Off you go, mate. Here's the correct score for Sunday.
Yeah, you'll probably be pleased about this. I can't see a way that we get anything from the game, if I'm honest. Regardless of formation, I would say fairly routine win. We might keep you out initially at the start, but I think it's only a matter of time. I reckon you'll win 3-0.
Ricky?
Well, do you know what? For all of my...
In fact, before you do that, do you remember this time last year sitting here with Aaron? We did the last COTC season. We had Leicester away. And you and I... Don't worry, Aaron. You'll definitely beat us Sunday. Yeah. We went there and won 4-2.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Well, for all of my doom and gloom during this pod about what could happen... I think it's going to be comfortable. I had 3-0 in my head as well. I see it hopefully being fairly routine. We've got a job to do. I think Conte's going to make sure they do the job, and the players are professional enough to do the job. So, yeah, 3-0.
I don't for a minute think that we'll get beat, but I do think there will be an edge of caution I think that psychological knowing that actually a draw is enough. If something gets sticky for whatever reason on the day, it's a safety net, isn't it? A safety net that we haven't been working with in for any games, like Brighton at home, Brentford away. These games felt like you had to win them, didn't you, Ricky? This is, for the first time in a long time, a game we'd expect to win that does have a safety net. And I think Conte will have that in the back of his mind. I think I'll go 2-0, but with the caveat that if we score early and Norwich's heads go, like, it could be anything. It could be anything. I think the game could be anything between 1-0 and 5 or 6, to be honest. If Tottenham then decides to have a party and showboat with it and their heads are gone, then, and if the ground empties, like we've been suggesting the stuff as well recently, Mark, then I think that could happen. But no, I think the change of system's not good for us. But yeah, obviously I expect us to get the job done. I'll go 2-0. I'm worried though.
Cue Conte, jump on the red line, Mourinho at Palace then.
What's that, Mark? Sorry?
Well, if that happens, then Conte would be jumping around like Mourinho at Palace, won't he? There'll be wild celebrations in the dugout.
This time, at least there is a prize. If we draw at yours and Conte's high-fiving at the end of full time, I can live with that. Because at least there's a proper prize rather than qualifying for the Europa League. You know, qualifying for the Champions League for us, especially considering where we've been at this season under Nuno and stuff, would definitely be worth celebrating. And to be fair, Ricky, I'm sure you'll agree with this. He is the main reason why we'd be doing it, right?
Oh, absolutely. We wouldn't have done this had we have kept Mourinho from last year or stuck with Nuno from the start of the year. Not a chance. This is all down to one man and what he can get out of a group of players.
If we finish fourth and he gets backed in the summer, what's capable next year?
I want to say anything. The two teams at the top are way, way out there. And I'm not going to for 1 minute say that we can challenge them, because right now we can't. But If he can manage to play two games in a week, which is not certain either, but next season getting close to those two. I mean, when I say close, I mean like within 10 or 15 points, because we're, 25 away from them now. But yeah, basically pulling ahead of teams that we're around at the moment and getting closer to them.
Not having the stress of the final not weeks having of the season.
Yeah, but with the possibility of maybe even putting a challenge in.
It's not realistic to think of chasing City and Liverpool, though, is it? No. Even if we went and spent £200 million, it's just not realistic because the two teams are so good.
All we can do, and all that I hope for, is that we can just close the gap, prepare to get even closer. With no team in this country is anywhere near them. No team at all. They are head and shoulders above everybody else.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, guys. Mark, where can everyone follow you on the Bird app, mate?
FP_Badger.
Fantastic. And Ricky, yourself?
Ricky Saunders, 77.
Good luck, Ricky, especially to you at the weekend. Mark, see you for a beer in Norwich before the game, pal. Suj, we'll be back tomorrow on Planet FPL reviewing the 5 games, which obviously includes Arsenal's defeat at Newcastle. On Monday evening, we'll be reviewing Liverpool's game against Southampton and 3 Thursday night games ahead of, I guess, Suj is on wild card. So weird. We're basically both free hitting this week, so we'll discuss final plans for 38 as well. But just leaves me to say thanks again to Mark and to Ricky. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.